What's up, fool? Welcome to the What's Up, Fool podcast with Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
And over there, sporting her burgundy suit.
I'm not on camera.
Looking like Housewives of New Jersey. Yeah,
she's a tracksuit.
Wearing a tracksuit. She used to be married to one of the Gambinos. She took over when the other woman got locked up.
That was funny. I was seeing the little story about the Gambinos.
What happened?
Well, the other side of Carlo Gambino, that's where why Castellano got made, because that's his mom's side of the family. I didn't know that.
Carlo Gambino,
the original one.
He kept it all family, huh? Like,
yeah, he came from Sicily.
Like the people that were like captains were all part of the family, huh?
Yeah, that's why when Homeboy did what he did, John Gotti, he was from the street, like thug to the core. He took that power, dog.
But so was Carlo Gambino.
Yeah, he wasn't loud, dog. Never on any recordings, never on the phone. None of that stuff.
Killing people with a blink of an eye. Huh?
Yeah, dude. He was ruthless, dude. Smoothly.
He wasn't even tall.
Little guy. Big old beak.
Calling shots.
Yeah, man. Making it happen.
You know how he came up?
How, fool?
Carlo Gambino came up, I think, during World War II or World War I. Because he came from Sicily.
Right.
He was like, and they were giving out, during the Depression, they were giving out food vouchers, uh-huh. Right? And that fool got a hold of a bunch of food vouchers. And that fool was selling them, dude. Like, a lot of food vouchers during the Depression.
That's where he got a bulk of the money?
He got a lot of money out of that. He was making gang of money.
Because he's one of the original five families in New York, right?
Yeah, so he saved up that money, you know, because he started small, bro. Like, he came up with Lucky Luciano.
Right, right, right.
And the original five families, but he was like a smaller dude. Like, he was like
an underling.
Underling, but he was there, bro. He was there, bro.
In the mix.
So that's how he came up. And later on, when that dried up, the Bull State Act, bro, when they, Prohibition.
They mentioned that, dude.
Yeah, the Prohibition, so that fool started making money. And, the way they made money was, they would transfer, they were bootlegging and like smuggling alcohol, man.
Right.
But they were like putting it like in boxes with salt. Then the salt would come out and then the boxes would just pop up and they would look for them.
So that's how they would smuggle that? Yeah. In trucks or what?
No, they'll throw them in the ocean. Like, they'll throw them in the ocean to off a boat, because sometimes they would like take boats or they'll take trucks too. Drag racing got started, bro, because of Prohibition.
Right, well...
Because those hillbillies, bro, they used to fucking take all that moonshine up north.
Remember that movie with Richard Pryor, Grease Lightning?
I never remember that.
Pam Grier was in it with him. But he was, like, back in the day, he was smuggling moonshine. That's when he became a race car driver. All in the little hick areas.
That's why I'm Dukes of Hazzard, Uncle Jesse, you never saw him anywhere, bro. That fool was on house arrest for moonshining.
Are you serious?
Yeah, when you look up the Wikipedia.
Yeah, the whole thing was them running because they were moonshiners, and that's why they weren't allowed to cross the state line and all that.
Really?
You got Daisy Duke over here.
And we don't like hick. We prefer the term hillbilly. Thank you very much.
She said we.
Now, nobody really says hicks. Just Bill Hicks.
Nobody says hicks.
But
they say rednecks. I think redneck is the preferred.
But Boss Hogg, he was a real boss man, like the original, yeah. His character must have been based off some other movie like that.
That's funny, man.
I wish I knew the history.
On what?
On Boss Hogg and like who that's.
Oh, Boss Hogg, he was also a bootlegger.
I think, yeah.
And
I think
he used to work for Uncle Jesse.
He used to work with Uncle Jesse.
He used to work with Jesse, but when Uncle Jesse
got locked. But he became a legit, like a politician.
Yeah, and Uncle Jesse got locked up and he didn't sing, bro. But they told him that he's not going to go to jail, but he can't. Started bootlegging again, and I think his kids actually bootleg.
Yeah, they're actually running alcohol.
And they're not supposed to leave they're not supposed to leave that area. Mm-hmm. That's why every time they leave their county, they get chased.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, you know, becoming good drivers and being fast, mm-hmm. and ditching the car.
Yeah, them dukes.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a trip. Like, you watch it as a kid, you don't even think of that.
Dude, when you watch it as a kid, like, you don't know the Confederate flag was for the Confederate soldiers.
Hell no.
I thought it was for their car.
Thought it was for the General Lee.
I used to have a shirt with a General Lee.
I had the car, dude. But I used to like to see those fools jump.
Yeah, dog. I think that's all I always liked.
Yeah, man.
And then sometimes it'll stop halfway and then get out the guitar and be like, now how them dukes gonna get up this peril?
That fool swore, dog.
It's funny. I saw some article on Tom Wopat, who played Luke Duke. And recently, and I guess he was accused of some sort of like inappropriate sexual behavior with somebody. This was before all the celebrity things started coming out, and somebody had the had that headline. Now, how are these Duke boys going to get out of this one?
Sam Dukes.
Sam Dukes.
Damn.
I remember I used to watch Dukes of Hazzard, dude, every Friday, dog. Like I had that was my routine. 8 o'clock, Wonder Woman.
Nine o'clock,
Dukes of Hazzard.
Damn.
And then Wonder Woman got canceled. And then it was 8 o'clock, Incredible Hulk. Then 9 o'clock, Dukes of Hazzard. And after that, it was either Dallas or Dynasty, but I was gone.
Dukes of Hazzard was CBS, wasn't
CBS,
it?
CBS, yeah.
But then Wonder Woman, I thought that was ABC or.
I think Incredible Hulk was not on CBS then.
I think Incredible Hulk was NBC.
Then I would switch channels then.
Yeah, maybe.
Just never got up. Just that I will look up and then change the channel.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but yeah.
Dukes of Hazzard used to come up. And I forgot that I used to watch CBS because that channel never came out good, bro, growing up. We need an antenna.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, man. Those were my shows, man. Dukes of Hazzard. And then they changed, I guess, I didn't even know. You know, when you're a kid, you don't understand what's going on, man. Like, you turn the TV on. Whoa. Why are Bo and Luke's brothers, why are they not here? Where the fuck, why are their fucking cousins here? Remember when they switched them, Lisa?
Yeah. I don't know. That might have been contract negotiations looking back or something. I can't remember their names. Yeah, that was like toward the end of the show, right?
It was Colt and Bo.
No, Bo and Luke.
Aaron, you know what's up, bro. You
how you one of
them dukes. He goes, I don't even know who Enos is.
I loved Enos. He was my favorite. Remember, the nice one.
He was like the nice cop. He was in love with Daisy.
Yeah, he loved Daisy.
And Daisy used to use her sexy body to trick him.
And her pantyhose under her shorts. She had pantyhose on.
I never noticed that. I thought, wow, her legs are tanned.
Yeah. All the Three's Company women, when they wore shorts, they had pantyhose too. It always bothered me.
I used to have a Dukes of Hazzard poster. Bro, with Bo and Luke and Daisy Duke right there. I used to stare at Daisy Duke. Then I got older and I realized, man, these fools have bulges.
I know.
They used tight ass pants.
I remember they
were wearing a cup.
There used to be solo posters of Daisy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
There
used to be solo posters of all those chicks. That's when I started liking white women. Subconsciously, bro.
It was TV.
Started out with Bionic Woman. I was influenced, bro. Linda Wagner. Lindsay Wagner, bro.
Coy and Vance were the other cousins.
And they were Chase too.
Yeah.
But dude, there was the Dukes of Hazzard were getting chased, but then there'll be like this black cop, bro. I think he was on 227. He was a sheriff of Chickasaw County. He was mean. He was tough, bro.
He was like
he was not bad. He was all good. Like he would arrest Boss Hogg.
Yeah. He was like
by the book.
Jackie Gleason's sheriff in Cannonball Run movie. I'm sorry, Smokey and the Bandit.
Lisa got it corrected.
I'm sorry, Smokey and the Bandit. You're right.
One or two.
I was talking about Cannonball Run with Isaac this morning.
Hey, back in the 80s, it was all about racing, huh?
Hell yeah, it was all about being fast.
Buford.
Getting away from the cops. What else, dude, in the 80s? Then Captain America, right?
Well, you know, like, you ever, like, be in your hotel room? And then you're like, you just leave the TV on. You start watching, you start changing, or you're about to take a nap. So you start watching whatever's on TV.
Oh, hell yeah.
While watching Standing Tall with the fucking Rock.
Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
In Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, man.
Horrible.
They could've,
oh, you didn't like it?
I hate Johnny Knoxville.
They could have done it without Johnny Knoxville. They could just put anybody there. They could have put David Spade in that role.
I thought that movie was cool.
He disappeared for like an hour in the movie, didn't he?
Yeah, where'd he go?
When he beat up all those people in the casino?
He fucked them up, bro.
That dude's a dick, huh? The drug dealer dude?
Yeah. That dude was born to play Dick Rose, bro.
A little evil guy, huh?
A little blonde, white hair.
Yeah,
fool.
Dude.
Yeah, he was Lex Luthor in the Superman show.
Yeah, dude.
What show was that?
Smallville.
That's it. Yeah, I remember that for a while.
By the way, Bo was in fucking Smallville. Mm-hmm. He played Clark Kent's dad.
Yeah.
Hey, so what happened in Walking Tall?
Fool, first of all, man. Wow, man. Shoot that fool? Are we gonna attack him one at a time? Can we all rush this fool? That's the problem in movies, bro. That's what everybody gets their fucking ass kicked. Everybody rushes him one at a time. Be real, bro. Rush him all at once. Like in Steven Seagal, man. Fuck. You ever seen the first movie? It was badass.
Above the Law.
Above the Law, dog.
That's right. The cousins, Vance and Coy on Dukes of Hazzard, replaced them during contract negotiations.
Oh, damn.
But they were so unliked, so unpopular with fans, they were written out after 19 episodes.
That's a lot of episodes.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's half
a whole season.
Almost.
Let me tell you about that, man. In 2013, the original Boy and Luz were never came back. They just fucking canceled the show.
Yeah.
Like they basically pulled a Charlie Sheen without talking shit. What are they called again? Their names? Vance?
Coy? Vance and Coy.
Fuck Vance and Coy. And not only is that, I think they brought in their sister too.
Oh, that sounds familiar. I didn't look. Supposedly, they lived on the farm before Bo and Luke came in, and then they left, and then they came back. That was the backstory. And they tried to make them like bad boys, worse. Like somebody said, they were
younger and more better looking.
Yeah, they were blonde and brunette and nobodies. They were nobodies.
Where are they at now, bro? Hating on us. Imagine they were listening. Fuck you guys.
Fuck you, man.
They're always like. Only in like in soap operas what they introduce like this, that someone's gone, like in the role of Lisa Esparza, it'll be taken over by Antoinette.
Oh, yeah.
Scudder.
I hated hearing that because sometimes your favorite actress, like sometimes.
No, Beth Miller?
Like sometimes your favorite character would, who was a regular, was sick or something during filming or taping. So they would put somebody in and they would announce it and I'd get so mad. I hated that. And Kendall, Kendall on All My Children, she was played by Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This part is brought to you by Ty.
And All My Children over here, dog.
I watched All My Children for 30 years. I did, as a kid.
I do the Latino one, All My Mijos.
Oh, my God, dude. I don't think I've ever watched a soap opera before.
Yeah, my mom watched it, so I watched it. But what's her face? Erica Kane's daughter was named Kendall, right? And she was played by, and originally played by... the girl who married Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah, and she was...
I really love that
It was
chick.
Before she played Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Badass.
It was before Buffy the Vampire Slayer and before she got famous. So this was her first thing when she was a teenager. I hated her so much, and I used to see her in Soho smoking.
Oh, she's a cutie, huh?
Oh.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Some girls don't like that little head, huh?
Right now, someone is going to call Felipe. When are you going to talk, dog?
I'm sorry. I will back out now.
Oh, that's, my God. That's all good. But yeah, man.
We're back, dog. Duke's Alley.
It all depends. You know who you hang out with? They're going to start watching the American soap operas. Because, man, once you get into it, you're into it. And then, like, the Spanish soap operas, these don't end. These continue.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't understand that about novellas, that they end.
After a while.
And then you just, those characters are dead or gone.
I don't understand why they do that. Like, could we continue this saga for another 20 years?
I know, you could. You could. But they just keep rebranding into
like Betty La Fea.
That other soap opera that has Luke and Laura. I never even know who Luke
General
was.
Hospital. Yeah, they got married.
Hospital, yeah.
But didn't they go in the 80s, from a young to
who
old?
Who lost all his hair.
They kept coming back. Yeah, they were always welcome back. But he went off and did UHF.
He played bad guys, dude. But I used to watch, when I was living with my baby mama, we used to watch Loving at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that was a half hour. It was 11:30 to 12.
11:30 to 12, yeah.
And then,
and then Another World.
Well, the news
or Days of Our Lives.
You turned the channel then.
Days of Our Lives. I used to watch Loving, Days of Our Lives, and Another World, I think. No, not Another World. I forgot which one it was, but there was a mean guy. His name was Stefano.
That's General Hospital.
General Hospital.
Oh, Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives. Thank you, Aaron.
One. Who's the one Thank on you, General Hospital?
Remember Patches?
Yeah, Patch.
I was all into it, man. They couldn't find
God,
Patches
dog.
Disappeared in a storm, bro.
Patch.
He just. I want to be that fool, dog. I thought he was so cool, but then he had a nemesis, dude, that kind of didn't like him, and it was Donovan, and he ended up being like the main guy in The Nanny. The British guy, Donovan.
Really?
And then later on, bro, like soap operas in the English one get so into it that somebody in the episode always had an evil twin brother somewhere. Somebody. Like right now, there's a nice Felipe Esparza somewhere out who doesn't drink, doesn't do anything, man, you know. He's not married, lives by himself, like a nerd.
But is he black?
He's black. He's a jazz player, but he drives a cab.
Is this bizarro, Felipe?
Yeah, but yeah, like because later on, I think Donovan had an evil brother that showed up out of nowhere.
A kid Donovan.
Who's nice.
Yeah. No, he was
the evil
one.
He was
a jerk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I never watched that show.
So we thought Patch died, right? Then later on, like it was like the season finale. That fool shows up and all tore up at the beach. The patch was in the other eye. He had a whole new life, bro.
Really?
Yeah, man. So I watched that for a long time. Like, Lisa, man. Lisa knows her soap opera fools. We've been watching movies. We could watch a porn. She'd be like, hey, that's the guy from General Hospital.
I only watched
Dirty Debutante.
I only watched like, the ABC
like,
ones.
Like the girl that married to, she's married to like Black Eyed Peas. Is that what's that chick name?
Oh yeah, Fergie.
She's married to her soap opera star.
Josh Duhamel. Really? Josh Duhamel. He was on
her
Vegas.
Man crush.
He was on Vegas too. The TV show Vegas with James Caan. He was on that show. He was my man crush for a little while, but then he got his teeth
fucked.
Fuck
that guy.
He wanted the old teeth.
But then he got his. I liked his old teeth. They had character. But he got his teeth
all
kept.
I got my teeth fixed for nothing. Somebody punched me.
Soap operas, I never watched one, dude.
Bro, they're all guapos, bro. They're all good looking, bro. I mean, Emilio Rivera,
he was Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara.
Really? I just thought that's what like women, like ladies that had kids would watch when they would go to school and the husbands would go to work.
They're dramatic.
Yeah, but the kids end up watching them. That's how I ended up watching
it. Really?
I started watching it at 5 or 6 years old. I was watching it.
You get into it.
Yeah. I remember that little hourglass you use other days. Yeah. That's the only thing I remember. That's it. I was like, what the fuck? I'm going to go ride my bike.
And now, these are the days of your life.
Yeah, dog. I didn't know that we're all so, like...
They're all...
Invigorating.
They're all beautiful, bro. There isn't an ugly fool. Even if you're the rapist of the soap opera, you're like, you know what? I could see how she could have led him.
A handsome rapist.
They're all handsome, bro.
Hey, didn't Denzel Washington come out of soap operas and George Clooney?
George Clooney, I don't know, but George Clooney was on a show called about St. Elsewhere? Or
that
something.
Denzel
was in St. Elsewhere.
Okay, and that's a soap opera?
Medical drama.
Medical drama. Like it was like...
Medical drama.
Yeah. Kind of like that show, I don't know, some show on Felicity?
Felicity?
Drama? I don't know. Yeah. Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I think he died in that show.
Oh, damn.
He became a ghost. An image. That's always like, you know, that always sucks how when you're like on a show, you watch the show and your favorite character dies.
Oh,
and you want that fool to come back, but then he come back like a whack ass ghost.
Why even watch it again, dude?
Yeah, man. So you never watched like soap opera with your mom, novelas?
Nah, well, dude, I would sit.
Bro,
those mujeres un camino. I just see the intro. I was like, oh my god.
Dude, they paid Eric Estrada so
nasty money,
much money to play Dos Mujeres Un Camino.
That was a mean old show.
He had sex with both of them, bro. That ended up being Dos Mujeres, Un Pepino.
Yeah, dude.
That's the ultimate scandalous thing for someone to do with someone who gets caught cheating. They put you in a meme like that. With the chick you're messing around with and the chick you're with, Dos Mujeres, Un Pepino. Well, the soap opera that Eric Estrada was in was called Two Women, One Road. We call it Two Women, One Venus.
Yeah, that was the 90s, huh?
They paid him so much money, and you know he couldn't speak Spanish? Puerto Rican guy couldn't speak Spanish? That they had to he had to learn his lines in Spanish, but he never actually learned how to speak Spanish. Like, all his Spanish is, tú sabes.
Real quick.
I thought he's faking it.
I bet you he is. He's from this, where's he from, Cali or East Coast?
He's from the East Coast. Where's our guest? That's funny, when you meet one nationality, you start thinking about other nationality. Like, hey, bro, you're Vietnamese? Do you know that guy from the Last Comic Standing? Duck something?
I was going to say Tan Fan.
Tan Fan. What's up, people? This weekend, this Friday, tonight, we're in Salinas, California. We're at the Fox Theater. The show is sold out. What?
Oh, yeah? Dude.
There's like 45 tickets left, but if you're trying to get two tickets together, they're not together.
Okay.
They're not together at all. They're separated. Like, you got to sit in the front and that's in the back. And this Saturday, Bakersfield at Fox Theater, there's some tickets left.
There's some tickets left. I'm not sure how many.
December 14th through the 17th, Addison Improv in Addison, Texas, Saturday night, sold out show. I think
almost
about. Sold out, bro. Never happened, huh, bro?
Crazy, dog.
It been sold out when we were there, right?
Yeah, yeah. They'll get sold out.
I think one or two shows have sold out, but never before you gotten there.
Never.
Not
right.
Thank you, HBO people who watched it. Also, in January, I'm coming to Boulder, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, Illinois, New York, Palm Springs, Coachella, California, Tucson, Arizona. Check out FelipeWorld.com tour for all shows and dates and ticket links. Shout outs to these fools, Rodrigo.
Maloso _ Zacatecano. Thank you very much, Big Dog. Who wishes the podcast could be longer.
What
Gunt
she said.
Thriku, listening from the Czech Republic, even though he's Mexican. Shout out,
Czech
Big
Republic.
Dog.
Check. Better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Right?
Give some Joey Coco, bro. They miss it.
Can't be messing around over there. They'll put you in that Russian Greco move, squeeze some fucking hummus out your ass, and you're done.
I got into a new show on Amazon, bro.
Really? For yes. What? The Americans?
No, I'm still watching that shit, bro.
Okay.
It's badass.
It gets better, huh?
You been watching it?
Dude, I got the first episode. That shit was long.
Oh, it's all introducing everybody.
I'm going to watch the next one tonight.
Oh, man, you got to watch it.
What's the new show you're talking about?
Oh, man.
I
like watching shows, man, of places that I just want to, you know, like you watch a travel show and you see everything that's real. Oh, fool. Before we get to that,
Anthony
Bourdain, bro. He has a Los Angeles show, right?
Uh-huh.
When he filmed his show in Los Angeles, he went to Boyle Heights. And he interviewed Al Madrigal, right? And they were eating somewhere. And then he interviewed Danny Trejo.
Okay.
And he interviewed Mr. Cartoon and Esteban Oriol.
Okay, probably
right
downtown.
And he interviewed some people from Boyle Heights. They go on his jog. But he interviewed some guy that he only spoke to for like maybe 10 minutes. The whole show should have been around this guy. This guy was one of the cops from the Rampart Division.
Shut up.
Straight up Chicano, bro. He spoke for a little bit, bro, and he threw cheese in the conversation, bro. We gotta get that guy on a podcast. I gotta find out who his name, and we're gonna have him on the show. But anyways, this fool started talking about which I never really knew. He said that that Denzel Washington movie Training Day, he goes, it's all based on a cop from Rampart.
Really, a brother too?
He goes, I don't know. He didn't mention name, but it was all based on a real situation that happened in Rampart Division. He goes, I was caught up in all that shit, dude. He just started talking.
That's awesome, dude.
Luke. What's up, foo? Have
What's
a seat,
up?
Sir. So a new show I got into with on Amazon is called, so I watch travel shows, right? So this show is based in Greenland, in Iceland. It's a cop show. So you know how you watch something, then they tell you, if you like this, you might like that. So they told me, if you like Fargo, you're going to like this show. And I realized why they chose that show, because they based, not because on the content, because Fargo is cold as hell, right? So they show
Greenland.
So they show it in Iceland. So the show is basically they found a dead body and there's a big ship coming in. So everybody in that ship can't get off the ship. So the whole episode is about the whole series is about the murder and somebody. It's like Murder in the Orient Express, but in a ship, and it's all Iceland and it's snowy, bro. Like all white snow.
Well, they're investigating and all.
Yeah,
that shit?
Man.
What's it called?
It's called Trapped.
Trapped. Okay.
You know me, man. I find weird shows, and I want to get into them. Like, I like to watch shows that nobody's watching because I think they're funny, man.
Yeah, well, I need some new shows, dude.
Like our guest, bro. That fool, a detective in France.
Oh, hell yeah. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Me la pelas. Oh, that's Italian.
Next door.
What's up, fool? You're excited, dog, about our guest?
Oh, please, bro. I've been excited since the last week at Ontario,
bro.
When we seen him.
I've been wearing the same sweater since he gave me a hug on it. I haven't taken it off.
I got the same shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say. Look good in it.
Thank you, bro. Oh, man. There fires by your house.
No. Well, there was a fire to River Bottom last week, supposedly set by homeless people. That's out. But no, there's no fire. Just mad winds.
There's fire at my house, bro. Fucking Thousand Oaks. They named it to, they're going to rename the city to a couple of oaks.
No shit. Real soon. This shit keeps up.
It was a fire, bro. A fire, bro. There's people out there getting. There's people that are telling me to already claim false claims for fires, even though there was not a fire in my house. Some guy told me, because I woke up in the morning, and I looked in the bottom of the pool, it was all black full of ashes. Then my Lyft driver, some Armenian, not to say that he said, my friend, you could file a claim. You have ashes on your swimming pool. Maybe get $7,000 for cleaning.
It's not going to cost $7,000. Our guy would do it for like $200.
Yeah, but you know, Armenians, no other Armenians. We know Armenians. My friend. What's up, fool? We have a guest today. Man, I don't. We are so lucky to have him. We haven't had a guy with this many movie credits, and we had who?
Emilio
Rivera from Southern Monarchy.
Emilio
Rivera.
Ah, okay.
My neighbor, old neighbor. That fool can make the rain stop.
I talked to the mailman for you.
Right here we have, come on, Rodrigo. Give us, introduce him, bro, with some.
No pressure, papi,
with
no pressure.
With a New York accent, bro, Tony Soprano.
Well, this guy right here, a lot of you guys may know, it takes a lot of money on the breeding. A true treasure, a gem. I hear the East Coast working like all the Latinos do.
You sound like you have sleep apnea, but go ahead.
Absolutely. I got my mask on. I don't got the mask. Pero sabe qué? Lo que está pasando aquí es un honor de tener este tipo aquí. Una estrella.
Tremendo.
Enorme. Por favor, señores y señoras, ladies and gentlemen.
Desde Nueva York.
From New York City.
Lower East Side, LES.
Over 300 movies.
Please put your hands together for Mr.
Boogie Nights.
Luis Guzman.
What's up, fool?
What's up?
Papá.
¿Qué pasa, mi gente?
First of all, man, thank you for being on the show.
Bro, oh, yeah, bro, it's an honor, yeah, bro.
You're wearing a badass shirt, Basquiat, right here.
That's That's it. Bro, let me tell you something.
Jean Basquiat.
You're fucking badass. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
Am I allowed to say
that? You can say it over and
okay,
over.
Okay, double time. You're fucking double badass.
Thank you, man.
You know, I caught your show on Saturday, bro, and it was like, well, I seen your HBO special, first of all. Okay, but seeing you live, I said, shit, man, this brother knock on my door at 3 or 4 in the morning, he's coming in. He's coming in. We're staying up, y'all. He ain't going to stop talking here. Let's go. Dale,
me, bro.
But you're badass, and it's an honor for me to be sitting next to you.
Oh, man. The honor is mutual, right, Rodrigo?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
And that was a great introduction, bro.
Oh, thank you very much. Only for you, brother.
Rodrigo's the king of introductions. He's the king of the roaches.
Right.
What's up, Rodrigo? With these fires, you think the roaches, everybody's scattering?
Dude, the roaches are survive a nuclear blast. That's the only thing that'll survive.
No, they won't survive the fires, though.
I don't know, man. There was a house that burned down, okay? This was over there in Southgate. It burned down. We used to do the roaches, right? It was a little apartment building. We came back. They rebuilt the place. It still had roaches. Over there by Tweety.
I've always wondered.
I'm not even messing with you.
If they can survive a nuclear blast, then why do you exist? Then what can an exterminator do for it?
No, I think it's the way that the chemicals attack the exoskeleton. Yeah, yeah. Because if there wasn't
anything. You mean because it's like a slow, ongoing process?
What do you mean?
Like you go back, you keep going back and all that.
Man,
too.
This is a thing, man. In the end,
we're talking about roaches or Luis Guzman.
No. This is interesting. Interesting.
You, ladies and gentlemen, you have to keep your house clean.
Of course.
No,
That's it.
I got a theory, though.
Go for it.
I got a theory. So
New York roaches.
Here we go.
New York roaches.
We're not talking roaches, though. We're going to talk human beings, right?
Okay.
So back in the day, we get a cold for what, 2 or 3 days?
Yes.
Right? Nowadays, that cold hangs on for what, 2 or 3 weeks?
Right, a month.
Okay, a month. So it's like our immune system is shot. You know, anytime they give you penicillin on stuff like that, that's not working no more. The only thing that works is mezcal, tequila, and good weed. That's it.
You know
that's
what?
That's it.
He ain't lying, man. I smoke weed every day, bro. I haven't had asthma in my life.
That's
I haven't had cold, flu, bro.
Yo, you walk around out here, you go hiking, you develop asthma.
Stay indoors, the smuggler.
For real, man, Rodrigo got cancer doing push-ups.
No shit?
Nah, just joking.
Oh, okay.
It is fool.
Oh, yeah, that was a fake cough, man, but I was convinced.
Tell you, man, this guy's an actor, bro. You know what CC's
like. Oh, please.
So you're from Lower East Side?
Lower East Side, New York City. And actually, this guy here,
he
used to hustle off us back in the day.
I knew his girlfriend. I used to live in New York, and I worked with
Jean Basquiat.
I worked with his girlfriend, well, former girlfriend, Suzanne Maloof.
Okay.
Who's a doctor now.
She's a doctor now, but she was a manager of a restaurant back then. But she's a pediatric psychologist, actually. Now.
Oh, look at that.
But she was out on the streets with him and everything for years. And she's who is portrayed in the movie. I think, is it Annabella Sciorra who plays her?
No, not Bella Scorer. It's another woman named Faith.
I can't remember. But the woman who she portrays her, but yeah.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Lower East Side. I was watching this this old movie. Oh man, I was falling asleep at a hotel room, and this movie was from like the 1970s or 1960s, and man. There was a shitload of fucking gangs in New York back then.
Oh, yeah,
they
man.
Used to wear, they used to call them the jacket gang. They used to wear jackets. Like, they'll say, like, vultures or something or whatever. Kind of like the Warriors. Remember the Warriors?
Old school.
Yeah. Old school. But there was, like, you couldn't even walk at a different part. It's kind of like what LA is now, where you can't walk at a different street. If you're Latino with a bald head, somebody's going to hate you up and say, where you from, fool? Was it that bad in New York?
It was that bad.
Did you wear a jacket too?
Yeah.
What is Jack? What was your group?
I was part of the LES Satans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And your jacket had a Satan in the back with a pitchfork dancing?
No.
Oh, cause I was watching a movie, right? And
that's
they were like, they were getting all these. It was a documentary.
Sorry, bro.
He made it up.
They were getting all these kids, right? And they were like, this. It goes. Well, it was funny because the white man talking, right? They were like, the movies are black and white. I was trying to get these juvenile kids, you know, to get off the streets, you know, maybe give them something productive, you know what I mean? But we're going to get these kids who paint houses, you know? They show these kids painting houses, big ass dude with an afro. He's still wearing his gang jacket.
Yeah, no, I mean, you wore colors. We used to call them colors. We didn't call them jackets. We called them colors. We wore our colors. And so, like, in my neighborhood, we had the Dynamite Brothers. We had Saint Blood, the Royal Javelins, the Sportsmen's. You know, it was something back in the day to belong to a gang. You know, but I used to always tell them, "Dude, you don't even own the fucking block. What are you protecting?" But it was there.
But they were real rumbles.
Oh hell yeah, bro! Hell yeah, man! I mean, you know, I mean they used to be like a whole strategy before the rumble, and then we were sending the peacemaker. To meet with the other gang's peacemaker to say, okay, we want to squash this or what? So if we send in the peacemaker and he came back all fucked up, there was no peace.
Damn, that shit was an all-out war, huh?
When I was a kid, I saw a movie like that with, I forgot that guy's name, but he was in a movie called Wise Guy on CBS. He was an actor on Wise Guy.
Ken Wall.
He was in a movie called The Wanderers.
And the Wanderers.
And there was like a shitload of gangs in that movie. And I said, God damn. And I was watching those movies. I was like, fuck, man, New York would be crazy, man. I'm never going to go over there. I'm going to get mugged. And I remember the first time in the Bronx, I kept watching my back, you know, because I kept thinking about the duckies, bro.
Well, let me tell you something. Back in the day when you went to the Bronx, and this shit used to happen, I hated going to the Bronx, but especially driving to the Bronx, because we go to somebody's family. We come back, let's go. It's 2-3 in the morning. Turn on the fucking car. The car don't turn on. Motherfuckers, you steal your batteries, man. Mm. And then some guy, what happened, Papa? Somebody stole your battery, man? Yo, I got one right here.
And it's yours.
And it's my fucking battery,
that
man.
That happened to you?
That happened to me in Ohio. First day of school, they stole my dad's battery.
No
shit. And then he went down the street to buy a new battery from like that salvage lot, and they had our battery. But people would chain their hoods closed. So
people don't know about the hood, man. We used to put a lock on our batteries.
No, that's yeah, what I, no I, shit, I remember. Right? Anybody remember that ever got stuck with their battery, we put a lock on it. Yeah.
Before a car chain. Alarms, your car had a lock in the front.
Yeah.
Man, if your car overheated, man, it'd be hard to open that lock, man. It's hot. Can't even find the lock.
No shit, bro.
My father's battery was taken one time, and that fool knew who took it, and he knocked in the house, and he walked in there. And those fools were smoking crack, and they just picked up his Sears battery and walked out.
They do, dog.
Pinchy Tony.
That's it. We don't have to worry about that shit no more.
Or like, no lie, man, when I remember listening to Tracy Morgan, and he was talking about when he got his real famous, and he was trying to move, he said that he moved out at his house at 2 a.m. Like, what the fuck? Who moves out at 2 a.m? People in New York, huh?
People in the hood.
Yeah, people in the hood that don't want anybody to know where they're going. Yeah. I did that.
Yeah, he said they would have followed him.
I did that. Yeah. I did that, man. I came into some money. I'm not going to tell you how. But I came into some money, and all my boys wanted me to take my father's car and drive to Las Vegas. And I said, let me think about it, guys. Let me think about it. I think we'll get together tomorrow. Bro, I got up at 4 a.m, went down to the bus terminal, got on the bus. Slipped out of town for like a month. Nobody knew where I was.
Good for you.
Me
and
too.
And I kept all the money.
Man, you ever go back to the neighborhood and you see the people doing the same thing?
Bro, let me tell you about that. So, you know, when it got to the point that, like, people, like, began to notice who I was and I was making it, you know, one day I was walking down Pitt Street and this brother called, "Yo, Louis, yo, what's up, Papa?" And I'm looking and it's like, oh, shit, this guy. And he's, like, calling me and he comes over and says, "Papa, how you doing?" And then he goes, "Yo, man, you got 10 bucks?" And I looked at him and I said, "Let me tell you, bro, I got 10 bucks. You ain't fucking getting it," because I remember back in the day when we used to, like, choose, like, who's going to be on whose basketball team. You never fucking chose me on your basketball team. So I'm going to keep my $10 and, Papa, I'm out of here. Fuck that.
When he won Last Comic Standing, somebody hit him up to see if he would pay their rent.
Get out.
Because they backed him up one time in a fight years ago. Yeah. Back in
oh,
the
no shit. So it's like, pay up.
Yeah,
he wanted 10 G's.
God damn. Where's
get the fuck out of here, man.
He wanted 100 for every year. Yeah, man, because that guy, he didn't even hold no gun. I was holding it. All he did was back up. Like, he was just standing behind me. Like, if something went down, he would have done something. But I ended up doing everything, bro.
But no, I'll be honest with you, though. It's like, you know, I go down to the neighborhood and I still see a lot of my friends and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm cool with everybody. Everybody's cool with me and stuff like that. But I had to explain to some of my brothers down there. I said, "Yo, man, I'm not the money tree and shit, you know?" And so I always take everybody out to eat, you know, something like that.
I don't know if that only happens, like, in the Latino and Black community where, oh, man, don't you forget where you came from. Like, I always feel like, I wonder if Jewish people are telling Seinfeld, "Man, don't you forget where you came from. Don't you forget about your rabbi here in Brooklyn."
I never heard that, but this is new to me.
Oh, we had Massapequa with Jerry.
But yeah. Latino.
I think ethnic.
Break bread, homie.
Yeah, I think people who make it, who are ethnic, I think they're people of the fans who are that same ethnicity feel like, hey, you belong to us in some way, you know? You made it. It's like one of us making it, but they feel a connection. Like, you know, you got to give back. That's why George Lopez is called a sellout. That's why they call everybody a sellout who makes it to a certain point and doesn't talk to certain people anymore. They're a sellout.
I seen people say bathtub about Paul Rodriguez, and I'm like, dude, you didn't even know how much money he's donated over his life.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You know how much good he's done for goodwill.
Remember he bust those people to the Laugh Factory? It was like a bunch of people from Ventura area. Yeah, and they from the fire. And then that woman was like talking to him. He felt bad for her and like stuffed a bunch of money in her pocket. Like he's constantly helping people.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I mean, that's the most important thing, man. The most important gift that we have, whether we're actors, comedians, and stuff like that, is us being humble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like I never forget where I come from. And if I can help, I will help. I don't need to be asked to help because, you know, I know what it is to ask for help myself because I've been there. I've been in those places, you know? And so, you know, you never forget, you know? And people that do forget, man, you know, that this thing called karma. What goes around comes around. But, you know, I don't have to deal with that. And you don't have to deal with that because, you know, we're grounded. We're good people. We're fucking crazy. But, you know, we know our roots, so...
I work with comedians from New York that know you. Well, they know you. Like, I know I work with, what's that guy named? Vega? What's the name of the guy?
Vega? I don't know.
Tony?
Yeah. No, he's a comedian. Two comedians from New York. One of them used to write on the busting and that show, House of Bugging.
House of Bugging?
Yeah.
Okay, who, John Leguizamo?
Yeah, one of the writers. I work with him on the... And El Paso, but I forgot his name right now. John Vega, he wrote for Chris Rock. He was showcasing.
Does he open for Mark Anthony?
Yeah, he's a comedian.
He does stand up during the Mark Anthony show.
Yeah. You mean Mark Vieira?
No, Vieira.
I know
he's
Mark.
An older comedian. He was writing for Chris Rock when Chris Rock was here.
Yeah, I know who you're
Johnny
talking about.
Johnny Vega, right?
Wait,
is Johnny? I gotta look it up, man. Oh, this is killing me. Come on, Lou.
Him and
I
were at Latino Laugh Festival together.
Okay. No, keep talking.
Then we're on Johnny Vega. Then the guy from the El Paso show. another Latino comedian. These three comedians are all good friends. The guy from Scarface, bro. What's his name?
Richard Belzer?
No.
Oh, what?
Latino comedians.
Oh, Latino comedian.
Angel Salazar.
And these two other comedians, they're all good buddies.
Yeah, Angel.
They used to start.
Told me the best joke ever, bro.
What?
Joey Vega.
Joey.
And there's another friend of his.
I fucking love Joey.
Yeah.
Joey's like real old school and shit, you know? But, bro, so one time we were shooting Carlitos Way, and so all the Latinos were hanging out and everybody telling jokes. So this one brother, he steps up and he goes, "Yo, you know what, man? I know Puerto Rican judo. You ever hear that joke? You never heard that joke?
I heard Mexican judo.
You don't know if you got a knife.
Oh, see, you just fucking killed it for me. Okay. Okay.
I didn't hear what he said.
I know Mexican judo.
What did he say?
You don't know I got a knife.
You don't know if I got a gun. You don't know if I got a knife.
Angel Salazar, funny, bro.
Hilarious. Talk.
One time I was doing Latino. I was called, with Mike Robles. It was
I remember that.
It was Que Locos, and I was hosting a show, and we're all eating Chinese food, right? I wasn't even smoking no pot. I wasn't even drinking. It was Joey Coco Diaz,
right.
Angel Salazar, and some other comedians. And Angel Salazar looks up and goes, "Papi, I don't know what I'm doing hanging around with you comedians. I should be inside a comedy club writing jokes right now."
That's what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna see him. I'm gonna straighten his shit out. Yo, but you know, like the funniest shit I ever seen in my life. Have you ever seen John Leguizamo's one man shows?
I seen the one where he does a character with like a woman.
Oh, Manny the Fanny.
Yeah,
bro, Manny the Fanny is by far. But I saw that show.
Live?
I saw it live, and it was the last show. And so, you know, he said, "Come see my show." And so Manny the Fanny comes down in the second act. So I'm watching this, and like, I'm back, you know, a bit. And so, oh, man, who is that babe on the stage, man? Oh, shit. She must be warming it up for John the second half. And all of a sudden, I look, and I said, "That's fucking John." Oh, man, he did that shit so convincing. Come on, bro.
I remember Homeboy from Mambo Mouth, that first little half-hour HBO special.
Yeah. Well, that was the first time I saw him. That's when he did Manny the Fanny.
Okay.
It was doing Mambo Mouth, man.
Funny, huh?
Guys, just looking at you guys right now, I don't know how you guys were looking drag, but.
Well, I can show you, bro. I did a Target commercial.
You did a couple of things. Also,
I did a Target commercial. When I get there, I'm like, wait, nobody told me I dressed up like a chick, right? But then they said, "But you're gonna play the mom and the dad and the little girl and the little boy." Okay, so I'm playing the whole family. Okay, not just the mom. All right. So, man, I look horrible, bro.
You kept your beard.
I kept my beard, eh? I look like the bearded lady.
Yeah, you look like the bearded lady.
What's up, after Madden? So how did you get started in acting? Like, what made you want to be an actor? Or what led you there?
I was a social worker on the Lower East Side. And I never...
Where's my welfare check?
No, I didn't do welfare checks. My goal in my life, working with, I used to work with young people between 17 and 21, was to get them off the welfare roll and become independent human beings. But anyway, what happened was one day two young people didn't show up, and I was walking down the avenue looking for them. I ran into a friend of mine, Miguel Piñero. He wrote this great thing called Short Eyes. They made it into a movie. It was an award-winning play in New York. And he said, "Yo, I'm ready for this TV show. They're going to come into New York. They're going to be looking for people and stuff like that." I went, I auditioned. 3 weeks later, I'm co-starring on the season premiere of Miami Vice. That was like my first gig. I show up the first day.
You're a cop?
No, man, I was a fucking drug dealer, bro. Remember Latinos back in the 80s? Drug dealers? Yeah, we need another Latino drug dealer. So I was playing a freaking Colombian big time drug dealing and shit like that. And brother, all I wanted to get out of that.
What was your character name?
Oh shit, that's a good one.
Calderon is back.
I don't know what
Calderon.
His name. I don't know.
I'll find it.
Maybe it was Felipe. No. No. So anyway, that was like my first gig. And all I wanted to get out of it, brother, was enough money to buy me a used car. You know about this. So I can drive to Orchard Beach on the weekends and not have to take the train and then the bus, because that was the only way to get to the beach back then. So I got the car, And my best friend Eddie totaled the fucking car the next day. Damn. And that's how I started my career.
Like Russell Peters says, fucking Eddie.
Fucking Eddie. You know, but
wow, man, Miami Vice.
But I went back to work after that, you know, because I didn't know anything about the acting world. So I would get like little gigs here and there, and it would subsidize my salary. And then I did this great movie with the great director Sidney Lumet, who, you know, in his own right is an incredible legend. And
what movie was that?
Huh? Q&A.
Q&A.
With Nick Nolte, Charles Dutton, Timothy Hutton, Armand Asante, Patrick O'Neill, you know, old school kind of dudes. And then a couple years after that, we did Carlito's Way. And then we was off and running.
How about Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights came later.
I love your character in Boogie Nights, man. Oh, bro. Because you didn't want to be a, it's like, I felt like I would want to be that guy, man. Like, just put me a little in, bro. just put me in the movie, and everybody back home is going to know that I'm the man.
Yeah.
Because I talk so much shit to them. I just need the little, a little one.
To keep the hype
And then
going.
They put you there, the bartender, man. That shit was hilarious, man.
That was like bad acting 101, which I always dream of doing. Yeah, because, you know, it's like the
movie. They're porn stars.
Right. It's like the movie in the movie.
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to act good. You're supposed to act bad. So when you're an actor and you get to act bad, that's like, yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
And what got you Carlito's Way?
What got me Carlito's Way?
Pachanga.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you what got me. It's funny. So my brother-in-law and his cousin showed up to my apartment at like 6 o'clock in the morning. They were fucking hanging out. They knocked on my door and shit like that. And they found this fucking beat up zipper leather jacket. I mean, it was fucking
I found
stuck.
One too.
And they go, yo, can I get that? So I wore that jacket to the fucking audition. You know what I mean? Because it was like Pachanga, you know, down and dirty from the hood. I went in, so Brian De Palma is there.
Damn.
You know, Bonnie Timmerman, Martin Bregman, you know, and I'm walking into the room and I start fucking doing my lines and fucking Brian De Palma starts cracking up. And I'm like, oh man, this motherfucker's blowing my shit, man. Just like that. Thanks a lot. That was good, right? So, you know, I'm like, oh, motherfucker. He laughed, man. So I got home, and this is back in the day when you got, like, an answering machine that you got to fucking press to listen to your message. So I got home, pressed that shit. It was the casting director said, you are Pachanga. And I go.
I threw that jacket away.
I still got that fucking jacket, bro. It's going to a fucking museum. That's how I got Carlito's Way, for real, man. You know, I went in. I put that jacket on, you know, I wanted to exemplify. Well, here's the deal. You know, back in the day in the neighborhood, we had social clubs, you know. And social clubs, you go in, you drink, you know, there's a pool table all the way in the back. And it's like you go in there 4 or 5 in the morning. Like when you come home from clubbing and you come back to the neighborhood, you hit the social club for like a little nightcap, right?
After hours.
That's where you would see all the pachangas. Hanging all the wannabe pachangas. You know what I mean? So it was like, it wasn't a far stretch, you know, you don't make that shit up. You just fucking live that shit, you know?
How do you, for like a lot of young actors, how do you look at a script? Like how do you like know how I'm gonna play this motherfucker? Like where's this background? How do you come up with a backstory on someone? Like pachanga you knew, but like another backstory. Like for example, you were in Crocodile Dundee 2, right?
What?
Crocodile Dundee 2?
Crocodile Dundee 2. Right. Crocodile Dundee 2, man, there was no fucking research to that. There was nothing. That was like feeling lost in a fucking foreign place. That's like, oh shit, man.
We're not in Kansas.
We're not in Kansas, man. We're like in the middle of like, holy hell.
They put a bat on you, huh?
Yo, let me tell you something, bro. We went, they took our asses to Australia.
Damn, they had a budget. Okay.
They could have put you next to any tree or whatever, right?
No. We went
all the way over there.
We went for the real deal. Yo, let me tell you something. We went to the outback. They build an encampment for us. Like, we're inside the fence, right? So the first fucking night, the park ranger shows up You know?
Good day, mate.
Hey, mate. How are you, mate? And so the guy, the first thing he tells us is, he asks the group, okay, if you're being chased by a crocodile, what's the best way to get away from a crocodile? Everybody's like, oh, shit. I go, run, motherfucker. And he goes, okay, but how? Fast. No, but how? How? I'm just going to fucking, like, book it. And he goes, just so you know, a crocodile can catch a thoroughbred in 100 yards. So you're meat. You're done. So he said, crocodile starts chasing you. Fucking run zigzag because they can't fucking run zigzag. This is for you, Paki. Because you're gonna end up in Australia. You're going to Australia soon, okay? So fucking you zigzag back and forth. So then I said, okay, so
break that fool's neck.
So then the motherfucker goes, okay, next thing's up. Out of the 20 most poisonous snakes in the world, 16 come from Australia. So stay away from trees and bushes and don't be on looking on the rocks. I go, okay.
This is your training?
Who's
this is your
rocks,
training?
Right? I got a rock collection like, back in the Lower East Side.
Right. And then he goes, and then he goes, about spiders. And I go, oh, shit.
Don't go outside.
What about spiders? Out of the 20 most poisonous spiders in the world, 16 come from a... So it's like, y'all motherfuckers hook on that 16 shit. But bro, for real, man, for real. Back in when we were doing that movie, if you got bit by a snake,
you're done.
Or a spider, it's like by the time they connect your phone call back home, it's like they're gonna hear this.
Preparen la caja.
Bro, they're not even bringing you back in the car. I mean, no, man.
He probably said, okay, now we're going to talk about plants.
Yeah, out of 43 poisonous plants.
But let me tell you something, man. There was like this little lagoon, like on the other side of, like, they built a house for us to stay, right? So,
damn.
Right in front of the fucking lagoon that's on the other side. So you always see, like, these logs in there. Those weren't fucking logs, man. Those were fucking crocodiles. At night, you would flash your flashlight, and you would see, like, these little marbly things. That was the crocodile. Dude.
Waiting, huh?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I did that movie. So there was, like, really no planning, no, like, okay. We were just lost. We were fucking lost.
Did you meet any original Aborigine people?
Yeah, we met some of those guys. And
what are they like? Like, African-Americans or Native Americans?
They're like the Native people of Australia. But, you know, it's really sad. It's really sad because, you know, the government there, they lease their land to take uranium because they got huge uranium deposits, right? But the thing is, bro, this very true story. One Saturday morning, we're driving to town, and there's a brand new car and with the hood up and these two young Aborigines, and they can't fix. So we pull over because you always pull over to help people, right? That's what you do there. And they can't get the car started and shit. And so I look in the back seat. Man, it was fucking full of empty beer cans. I mean, full. You know, like there were like four cases full of empty beer cans. And they're like fucked up and it's like 10 in the morning. So, you know, I do the thing. I put my finger inside the carburetor and the car wants to start. And I tell the guy, come on, we almost got it. And I said, let me try it. So I go into the car, and I look, and the fucking thing said empty. And I said, yo, stupid, you have no fucking gas. You ain't fucking going no place. So we had to drive to town and say, and because honestly, they back then, they didn't pay attention to shit like that, you know? So they had, like, a real big problem with alcoholism, just like, you know, here with the Native Americans and shit like that. But you know what, man? These guys get like $10 million check every year for their tribe. The government built housing for them, and they still want to sleep on cardboard. Because, I mean, that's, you know, they're very primitive like that. But the beautiful thing was that when I first met, it was Chief John. That was his name, Chief John. And he looked at me, and he embraced me, and he called me brother. So I looked at the white Australians. I said, that's right, motherfuckers. That's how we roll here. You know, I didn't know back then, but yeah, that was my attitude. But they took me on a hike one day, and they took me into these caves, and they showed me their Dreamtime painting. And those Dreamtime paintings were like tens of thousands of years old. So, you know, it was a good experience that way. But like I said, it was also sad because I went to the supermarket one time, and the chief was shopping, and he had his own shopping cart. His wife had her own shopping cart, and the kids had their own shopping cart. So their kids had nothing but junk food and candy. I don't know what she had, but the chief, man, he had nothing but VHS videos. Porn.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, John, yeah, man. Gonna get hot. Gonna get hot up in there in that house tonight, yo.
Aborigines gone wild.
Yeah. It's like, Papa, you better have 3 or 4 VHSs, man, because that shit gonna burn out on you.
Check your tracking.
So, yeah, man. So, you know, that was an experience.
One of the Aborigines was an actor, right? In the movie?
Yeah.
And he's like a famous actor in Australia.
Yeah, Ernie.
And he's a soccer player, maybe, right?
I used to be, I think. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you a funny story. Really?
Yeah.
So people, like, you know, I'm always, like, pranking people. So there was a time that people said, yo, so where are you from? You know? And I go, yeah, I'm part Puerto Rican, part Aboriginal. And people used to go, wait, you Puerto Rican and Aboriginal? How the fuck did that happen? Yeah. Well, you know, my father, and I tell him with his face, well, you know, my father, he was in the Merchant Marines, and he went to Australia, and he met my mom in the bush. And he went back, and he met up with her, and she said, hey, this is your son, and he brought me back. But she couldn't raise me in the bush. And people are like, wow, man, never met a Puerto Rican Aboriginal.
that's as funny as when they asked Tracy Morgan who your father is, and he says Ernest Borgnine.
Which is kind of believable. They have the same face. They have the same face.
Yeah, man. You never know. You never know. You never know.
Who's your father, Felipe? Paul Rodriguez.
Yeah? I don't believe it. No shit?
No. Okay. But he's telling people that. It's my son. He's paying back my child support.
Oh, my God.
You've done stand-up comedy?
I tell you funny. Well, I improv anytime. Like I do the show, and it's like everything is scripted, right? So, you know, you're supposed to always follow the script. I'm always, like, just throwing shit in there, you know, off the top of my head. I mean, I love comedy. I've been asked to do stand-up. I actually did an accidental 15-minute routine because a friend of mine asked me to introduce somebody at one of his shows. And I go, oh, shit, yeah, man, that takes 30 seconds. And so I came down, and I saw my name, and it said 15 minutes. And I go, it don't take 15 minutes to introduce this dude. It takes like 30, you know. So I went out, and I did a 15-minute. You were there, right? How was I? Oh, man, you know what? It was like the most amazing experience. I was like nervous as shit, you know. I said, this is going to be. But, man, the love that I got from that audience. And
see you at the Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah.
See you in New York.
Well, you know what? You know how it started? Because I had just moved here to do a show. So I was living up in Glendale's, up in the hills. So I'm going to say the Dia story. And the Dia story was I came out one morning to throw out the garbage. And I look, and there's like a Dia, like, standing 20 feet away from me. And it's like, okay. All right, so I turn back to the garbage can, I open the lid, and I slam it down, and I look, and the fucking deer is still there. So we have, like, this unspoken conversation that went something like this. Like, I looked at the deer, and, like, the deer said, what the fuck? I'm supposed to fucking jump because you fucking did that? And I said, nah, bro, I'm just new from around here. And the deer goes, yeah, I can see that, motherfucker. I can see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I go, no, you know, I'm not trying to stir shit up. And said, well, get the fuck back into that house, the deer tells me. And I said, bro, just chill the fuck out, okay? You know, I'm trying to be friendly. And then all of a sudden, 4 more deers show up. And they're all fucking looking at me and said, what? That's right, motherfucker. This is how we roll. We ain't those fucking East Coast deer. We're West Coast deer. And I go, oh, damn, bro. Well, But look, I'm going to go back in the house. And the other guy, you better, motherfucker, because we about to pounce on you. So that was like my deer story. But, bro, fucking deers out here ain't scared of you.
They ain't scared of shit. Coyotes ain't scared.
They ain't scared of you. They just fucking look at you and say, what?
It's
what?
Like, it's like the rats in New York.
You look and you go, bro, man, this would be a creek right there.
Oh, yo. I'm going to tell you, I think and people don't know this shit about me. I think I own the record for kicking the most fucking rats.
Rodrigo?
Have you ever kicked a rat?
He's an exterminator.
Yeah, I kicked a rat.
He's an exterminator, though.
How big were your rats, man?
Those motherfuckers were like a good 3-4 pounders, man.
East Coast or right here in Glendale?
No, East Coast.
Yeah, they're big. They're like cats out there.
That's what I heard.
Like
I've never seen.
Oh, yeah, but now they got these fucking super rats. Have you heard about those?
What's up with that?
Super rats that weigh like 20 pounds, bro.
There's a documentary about
those motherfuckers are on steroids and shit. Yeah, man, fuck that. You got to
chemicals.
Now you got to walk around with a gun.
They've learned to. They've adapted themselves.
Yeah, man.
They live like squirrels.
How to do kung fu, bro.
Doing yoga.
No
they live
shit.
Like squirrels and stuff, and they like hoard their food, and then they like they're survivors.
They're called javelinas.
No.
No shit,
man. So you were in. What was it like working in that show where you play that Colombian drug dealer?
Oh, Narcos.
Narcos. Was that shot in Colombia?
We shot that in Colombia.
That guy was actually the richest guy, huh? More rich than Pablo, huh?
Yeah. Well, bro, the deal was, man, and it was crazy.
El Mexicano. He loved horses.
Gotcha.
Bro,
you know,
he's huge.
You know, they told me the story. You know the group Los Tigres?
Yes.
Right? Bro, so the Tigres del Norte are like the Rolling Stones of Mexican music.
Right?
Back. So this guy, Gotcha, would fly them in so they can perform in his living room. So Gotcha had like some girl that he's trying to impress, and they're like, yo, play that song again. And they're like, pero señor, we played that song like 7 times in a row. I'm paying you, motherfucker, play it again.
And they played like 50 times.
50
times. Right?
And bro, they would get paid with money in shopping bags. Like $150,000 in cash. They didn't make that much in 5 shows back in those days.
I remember with Los Tigres del Norte, right?
Yeah.
I heard that story before by someone else from another Tejano group in Texas that happened to them. And we worked with them, actually. We got to meet them recently at the – you met them, too, at Tropicalia. And their manager, his name is Jorge. And I remember asking
Jorge, No names.
His manager, the son of the...
Yeah, he's the son.
He's the son. And I asked him, bro, did this ever happen? But I didn't mention Gacha. I mentioned the other guy. El
Señor de los Cielos?
Yeah, what's his name? From the Mexican cartel. From the Sinaloa cartel. Whatever his name is, I thought it was that guy. So he's the actual... So, wow,
Chapo?
Gacha.
What?
Not Chapo, somebody
before
else.
That was a Carro Quintero before that?
Almuar something, bro. Anyway, he was a guy that the Cali talks to in the new Narcos 2. Well, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
But
yeah, bro.
But what else did you learn about the guy?
Bro, so what I learned was that
Gotcha. He was huge. He was bigger than Pablo, right?
He was way bigger than Pablo. The only reason everybody knew Pablo was because Pablo wanted to be a politician, so he put himself out in public where the other guys were like under the radar. But bro, the stories that I heard, it's like, let's say us four right here, that were the cartel. We could be arguing right now. I said, Felipe, that $50 million that just came in today, you got to take that shit because I can't fucking find anywhere to put the $50 million I got last week. They will argue about, yo, I can't take that shit. You got to take that or do something with it.
Bro, they couldn't hide that much,
bro.
Huh?
They couldn't fucking hide that money, bro.
They couldn't launder that much, bro.
Bro, these guys were making easy fit between $40 and $60 million a week in cash. You know? And where did that money come from? The USA.
Because you like coke.
Yeah. Oh hell yeah, man. Back in those days, hell yeah, bro. So, I mean, that's some of the shit that I learned.
And he must have owned a lot of property too, right?
They owned everything, bro. They fucking owned everything. You know, Mike, the guy that I played was like really ruthless. You know,
it, he had kids, it, huh?
Huh?
He had kids, right?
I think
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he did. He did. You know, and but the thing is, like, if I'm Gotcha, and you were to ask me, yo, so how'd your meeting go with your guys? And the guys, it's like that's the last question you ever gonna ask.
You can never ask that, huh?
You can never ask these guys questions. You know, you can just say hello, goodbye. That's it. How's it going? Okay.
Because that was a scene where that prostitute asked you how did that meeting.
Yeah, go. That's right.
Because you don't ask because any question like that, what do you care? You working for the feds?
Oh yeah, bro.
She was done.
Well, they were like really paranoid too, you know. But you know it. But you know it's like you also understood one thing, man. That this country here had a real fucking craving for cocaine, because you got to understand back in those days. Cocaine fueled an economy, not just the drug, because I remember back in the day, it's like, you know, it's payday, you get paid, you go get a haircut, you go get an outfit, you take your old lady out to dinner, now you're going to go clubbing, now you're going to be drinking, now you're going to be chipping in for an 8-ball. So before you got to that 8-ball, you have already spent all this money on all this. So that was like fueling an economy, believe it or not.
Everybody was doing it, huh?
Why Wall disco Street. Was so popular.
Disco.
Disco. Polyester.
She fueled the party.
That's it.
Did you ever go to Studio 64?
I never been to Studio 64, but I've been to Studio 54.
Somebody help me out.
Nah, bro, I was next door.
You know what? You know, one in Vegas.
Bro, you know what?
54 or 64?
54.
Bro, they're still fucking looking for Studio 64. No. But, bro. I went.
I'm thinking of Summer of 64.
Yeah, the blackout of 64. But bro, I went one time. Maybe twice.
They let you in? I'm a bouncer.
Bro, no, I got in because my boys would work the door. But the shit was, I wasn't impressed by it at all. It was, you know, it was a place that if you wanted to be seen, you know, I said, fuck that, man. I want to go dance. I want to go, you know, pick up some girls and shit like that. You know, so we go to like. Our clubs, you know, where our people hung out. You know, Studio 54 to me was just nothing more but cosmetic and shit like that. Fuck that. That's not how we roll.
Crazy, man. I read a book, man.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, man. The fastest book I ever read. I read this book in 1 week.
No shit.
And, man, if they ever make this into a movie, man, you got to be in it. It was called Random Family.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them, Lisa, about it.
Oh, I can't tell. I'll tell them.
Random Family, it was a book. That came out in 1990 something about a woman who was living in the Bronx with a Puerto Rican family, and
she was like a sociology student.
Yeah,
doing a project.
And she met a lot of people there, man. And one of the guys in the movie, man, he was this big, huge drug dealer. Mm. He was about Mike Tyson's age. What was his name?
You mean Boy George?
Boy George, yeah. Boy George.
He was a real guy.
The real
guy. Yeah. I think he passed away recently.
Yeah, I think so.
He was in prison. He was He said, "Well, everybody was selling crack." He opened up
heroin.
like they say that New Jack City was based on his heroin houses.
Yeah, because he focused on heroin while everybody else focused on crack. Same thing that American Gangster Frank.
Oh yeah, Nicky Barnes.
Yeah, so
Nicky Barnes.
So
yeah.
Frank Lucas.
Yeah, so they would. He was young though, and he became a really big drug dealer. But this. He was the boyfriend of one of the girls who lived in the house that this journalist was part of.
And it was all like some of these kids were in that movie, not Breaking, the other one. What's the other Breaking movie that came out of New York? Not Breaking 1, Breaking 2, but it was in New York. And they had...
About breakdancing?
Yeah, they had breakdancing. And they had graffiti.
You mean Crush Groove?
Not Crush Groove. Before Crush Groove.
Oh, the one that Crazy Legs was
Crazy
in?
Crazy Legs in it, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I know the movie you're talking about.
Yo, Ramon. And it was Ro Ramon.
Yeah. I know.
And it had Run DMC. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Run DMC. That's
not
Crush Groove.
Not Crush Groove. Not Crush Groove, though. It was before that. One of the kids they mentioned him in Random Family. He got one of the girls pregnant.
You're not talking about Coolie High. Not
Coolie High. Okay.
Anyway, let's move
on. Yeah. We're not getting no.
Well, you were in the Warriors,
huh?
The movie The Warriors.
I was a PA on the Warriors.
Yeah,
believe it or not, I was a PA on the Warriors.
You know when I was looking up the Warriors because I fucking love the Warriors. By the way, I found out that actor, comedian Robert Townsend, he was one of the Furies.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
How'd you get that job? Because I knew Colors.
Because I had Colors and they needed some technical.
Were those gangs based on real gangs or they're all make-believe?
It was based, loosely based on real guys, but not. I mean, well, you know, that was the era. That was the era.
It was dark back then, huh?
Yeah, man. That was the era, man. You know, that. Well, you know, that was the time that the South Bronx was burnt out, Bed-Stuy was burnt out, the Lower East Side. I mean, it looked like bombs have hit these neighborhoods back then, you know? So the only thing that we could do back then is, like, join a gang, you know? That was, like, our extended family.
You talking about Beat Street?
Beat Street.
Beat Street, right there.
Beat
That's
Street,
right.
To deal with a beat.
Right. But, that was like the gang thing back then, and
when you're right about the bombing, like I would look at all those buildings, they were all like someone blew them up, like a bunch blocks and
Straight
blocks
up slums, huh?
Of slums, man.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Why'd that happen?
Well, I'm gonna tell you what happened. What happened back then? There were a lot of fucking greedy landlords that didn't want to provide heat to people.
Damn.
That didn't want to fix up shit that was broke. And so they would pay some tecato, some junkie, you know, here's $20, and start a fire in that empty apartment up on the fifth floor to get everybody to move out. And then they, in turn, would collect the insurance for that building. So it was a whole scam.
But
then they'll sit there, the building will sit there empty till money came in, and then they'll fix it up.
No. I mean, they got demolished.
Yeah.
I mean, and those a lot of those abandoned buildings were breeding ground for tecatos to go. That's where the shooting galleries were. But, you know.
And squatters started taking squatters, over. Lower East Side.
On the Lower East Side, I was part of the squatting movement.
Yeah.
You know.
I moved there in 95.
You were squatting?
Oh, hell yeah, bro.
Where at?
On 6th Street between A and B.
Oh, my God. That's where I lived. I lived between B and C first and then A and B. Food deliveries wouldn't even cross B. They wouldn't even
cross
than
Avenue
yeah.
A.
That bad?
So well, I live between B and C.
Were you there when the New Eureka Poets Cafe was on 6th Street?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because that I used to hang out in the place called Charas, which was on Avenue B and 6th Street, right off the corner on the second floor.
By the deli, right there?
Right in the corner. Mm-hmm. And then we had a music studio downstairs called Tu Casa. And so, look at that. Nice. It's a small world.
Yeah, I lived on 6th Street for the first 5 years of living in New York.
It was like 2001.
No, that was 95 through 2000. Then I moved down to Fulton Street area. Downtown.
Wow. So so now what you're working on? Because you were a detective in France. Now what?
Now,
Code Black.
Now I'm a trauma nurse on a show called Code Black based on LA County Hospital.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah, man. And
911.
It's amazing. I mean, because
LA Hospital are no joke, man.
And no freaking joke.
You get shot in LA in a drive by, they follow your ass to the hospital to make sure you died.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they have you ever hear of Homeboy Drop Off?
No.
So LA County, they have this thing that people would drop off somebody that got shot, and then they press this thing, and the alarm would ring inside, and they called it the homeboy drop-off because people would drop people off, and then that way there's no witnesses.
Not want to come in.
Right? Yeah. You know? So, yeah, man, there's a real thing called homeboy drop-off. But it's LA County Hospital, man. It's an amazing place. It's where emergency medicine was born. You know that before there was a trauma center, emergency room, that they take you to an emergency room. It could be like a dentist treating your stab wound because they didn't have trauma teams back then. And that came out of L.A. County where emergency medicine was born. Mm-hmm. I make that whole speech in the beginning of the show.
Damn. Awesome. My brother was in the jail ward at General Hospital. And he got shot by the cops. Mm-hmm. That fool was he was like in a coma with his leg handcuffed to the bed. just in case his soul tried to leave.
No shit.
Yeah, he recovered, though. When he woke up, he didn't know why he was chained up. Bro, you shot at cops. That's why you chained up.
That's crazy. No, I've been doing this show for 3 years, and, you know, I'm out here. But, you know, I'm looking to do other things, you know, to do a little producing, to maybe do a little stand-up now. I don't know.
Check out Luis. Oh,
I don't know.
Come to this.
I'm not trying to take your job. I would never do that. You're too bad at it.
There's better job openings than this job. People wake up in the morning, I want to do comedy. Go do it, homie.
Yeah, man.
Go do it, homie.
You know, but no, man. And I'm a, I love helping out the East LA Boy and Girls Club. You know, anytime I could throw a little something their way, I do.
Have you directed or produced anything yet?
I did a movie. I produced a movie called Puerto Ricans in Paris. I shot that with a bunch of my friends. You know, we shot in Prague, Paris, New York. It was a little movie that we did.
That's the one I thought that was you were a detective in Paris.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That one. Did you see that one?
I saw it with a little French hat, a little beret.
Yeah, man.
I kept thinking, Rusty.
That's it. No, we shot that movie. We had fun doing it, man. It was just a little labor love thing, so.
I should just do a Born in East LA, another one, bro. But this time it was Louis Guzman gets lost in Germany, bro.
Bro, I'll make it out of there. Fuck that. fuck that.
Were you ever in a service, Navy, Marines?
No. Look.
The statins.
I'm gonna tell you the truth, bro. So you brought that up, all right? Bro, I couldn't even fucking make it in the Cub Scouts, man. Okay? True story.
You're like me,
true
bro.
True story, papi. True story. Ready? So my mom, to keep me out of trouble, she would always try to get me into these things. So she go, Papa, I'm putting you into the Cub Scouts. You know, you're going to be fine. For three months, it's like, okay, Guzman, your turn. What's the oath? Okay, a Cub Scout, promise to be loyal, respectful, healthy, cool. And it's like, nah, but for 3 months, bro. I would get that test every week for 3 months. And at the end, my mom shows up. The guy says, you know what? Your son, you know, no. He can't. I could not remember the oath to save my life. And I got kicked out of the
company. And now you remember lines all the time.
Oh, no shit. That's real easy.
A producer, a director, a casting director.
I am the youngest Latino to ever gotten kicked out of Catholic school. Did you hear that story?
No, tell us.
So, bro. So, what happened was, I was in kindergarten, you know. So the nun, something happened, and the nun hit me with that fucking stick. I hit her back. They send me to Mother Superior's office. I'm sitting in Mother Superior's office. My mother shows up. Mother Superior says, today was his last day. And I'm walking home with my mom. My mom's about to beat the shit out of me. But before she does, she asks me, why did you hit the nun? Because, mommy, you always told me never to stay hit. And she hit me and I hit her back. I did what you told me. And that was the honest truth. And she looked at me. And she still smacked me outside my head. And that was it. But it was the best thing that happened to me because look where I'm sitting today because of that moment. Who knew?
On the What's Up Food podcast.
¿Quién sabía?
Who knew?
¿Quién sabía?
¿Quién sabía?
Ya tú sabes.
¡Qué milagro!
Sin parar.
Sin parar.
What's up, Rodrigo?
Chilling, man. You ever do any theater?
I did theater back in the day. And I did this movie this play called Henry Lumper that was written by a guy named Israel Horowitz. His son was one of the Beastie Boys. And
he's in a little trouble right now, huh?
Who?
Yeah.
Adam?
No, the dad.
The dad.
Like, yeah.
Really?
To be honest with you, I don't follow that shit. So,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Regardless
Because we're not in trouble. Right?
Oh
shit, don't say anything. Don't say anything, Felipe.
I'm good. Okay. I only harassed my wife.
Yeah. No, but check this out, man. So I did this fucking play, and it was fun. It was great. But one night I did like something that you're not supposed to do, right? I got a little stoned before the play. You know what I'm saying? And my boy had some really good weed. And it's like, coño, man, it's 3 hours before the show. Fuck that. Let's go. So I figured, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I figured, like, you know, by then, you know, the buzz will wear off. I get to the theater. I am fucking buzzing. I am hyperdrive. I'm sweating. I do the play. Everything seems like slow motion, right? At the end of the play, like, the director always gave notes to people. I never got notes, which is a good thing. But that night, I got a note, and I go, oh, anyone open the note? I finally opened the note.
Where'd you get that weed?
No. Fucking open the note. It says, your best performance yet.
Shut up.
Because homeboy wrote another killer play, too, like the Indian Takes the Bronx, right? A little classic.
Yeah. I never saw that one, but yeah, that was the only play I ever did. So,
Miami Vice.
Hell yeah, though.
To now, man.
Who knew? You know? But like I said, Papi, like for me, the main thing was always to stay humble and really never forget where you come from and always be a giving person, man, you know? Like, I didn't have to do this, but I wanted to. Why?
Thank you.
Because it was you, you know? Because that's like... Like, I said, oh, hell fucking yeah, Felipe. Yeah, man.
What's up, fool?
You got both of your, you got the ear on the streets on both coasts.
That's it. You know what I mean? So. Oh, yeah, and you're going to New York, man. Yeah. You're going to New York in January.
PlayStation Theater, January 13th.
January 13th. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hopefully I'll come into New York and check you out.
Stop by, bro. Do a guest spot. Five minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah. Whatever you want.
Oh, fuck. I will. Yeah. I will.
We'll write you down for 20 minutes.
I can talk that New York shit up there.
Yeah, man.
Or you could just host or introduce whatever you want to do. No, man. Whatever
you want to do. We'll introduce you.
Yeah, man.
Or you can introduce him.
Bro. You know.
That'd be crazy, huh?
Yeah. That would be insane.
We're a pachanga jacket, bro.
No shit.
Your pachanga jacket. I threw that out.
I still have a pachanga jacket.
You had a pachanga?
This jacket.
When you mentioned pachanga jacket... I remember you from that movie, bro, right? And then I said, you know what? Pachanga wearing the same fucking jacket that Donnie Brasco was wearing in Donnie Brasco, the brown one. You know, the brown.
Yeah, yeah.
So every time I will put on my, dude.
It was like a brownish red. I got to
fight with my jacket that the sleeves ripped right here from socking people and or just getting into a wrestling fight with somebody. But my wife. Every time my wife will see me wear that jacket, she knows that I'm going to be gone for 3 days.
I knew he had fallen off the wagon.
No shit.
Yeah.
Hide the jacket.
Burn that.
I did. I threw it away.
Burn that shit.
It was like, you ever see the Twilight Zone where the guy puts on the shoes of the dead man, the dead gangster guy, and he becomes like a gang, like he takes on the persona of that guy?
Uh-huh.
That's what this jacket was like.
Oh, my God.
It was like Jekyll and Hyde.
That fucking jacket was a sin.
It was.
It looked better in black, though.
Oh. That jacket had holes in the pockets for me looking for cables of crack that I thought I lost.
It was bad news.
Bro, you used to find shit the in the pockets that jacket. Weren't pockets. It's like, oh, yeah.
There's a picture of me with that jacket.
I want to see a picture of that jacket.
A picture of me, like, Louis.
I got.
Louis, that's me wearing. It's a picture of me with that jacket.
9 years
And I'm wearing like a gangster hat. And I have braids too, bro.
Oh, yeah. I braided. Every time I braided your hair too, you'd fall off the wagon.
Oh, girl. So you were enabling them.
I didn't know at
That's
the time.
Fucked up. I said, Papi, you got to go. Come here. Let me braid that hair.
It was braids.
Damn. Yo, see
that
bro?
Jacket should be in the Smithsonian,
I know.
Bro.
Felipe, you never heard that perspective, huh?
Lockman.
Never, man.
Oh, yeah.
You're enabling me, man.
What?
It was the true pachanga jacket.
So, Papi.
Love that jacket.
Should I ever see you in braids, man, we're taking you down.
Yeah, okay. Tackle him wherever you see him. You know what
I
saying?
I put on braids, bro. I look like Queen Latifah in that movie Set It Off. Coco.
Oh, did you ever see me in braids?
No.
Oh. Yes, you were in braids in that movie Anger Management.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
That shit fucking hurt.
Dude.
Here's that jacket.
Let me see that jacket.
I can't expand the picture. That's the beginning of the night.
Oh, shit. Oh shit! That's the jacket from hell.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Damn.
Post that up.
Oh wait, and here you are with an afro wearing that jacket, about to go out on Halloween.
Oh no!
On Halloween.
Oh,
yeah.
This Halloween night, I got so I didn't make it. I passed out somewhere.
Okay. All right, just for that, I'm gonna show you my afro. I'm gonna show you my afro picture, cause we all, yeah. bro, really? Okay, here we go. Cuidado. I gotta find that. All right, here we go.
Look
out, cause it's about to get. Oh shit! I got, bro. It's coming. Say something.
We got the vinyl for sale. It's coming up soon.
We have Christmas sweaters for sale.
Sweaters for sale. Look,
they'll be gone on January 1st.
Yes,
we won't sell them anymore.
Okay. Well,
Rodrigo Torres wearing his Coach jacket. Yeah. You ever had an afro, Rodrigo?
Nah. My hair will just stick out like all.
Oh, yeah, I remember you were letting your hair grow long, bro. It was going bad.
I cut that shit off when I fell off
like
the house.
Bunion.
Do you have that picture?
The picture's lost in the Ozo.
Back in Australia.
Bro, yeah. Every time you will see Louis Guzman in a movie, you know, oh, that's that guy, huh?
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
It's a character actor. That's him.
When I seen him on Saturday, I was starstruck. I was like, what the
fuck?
Look
at that.
Oh shit!
Oh shit!
Oh my god!
Oh yeah! Look at that!
Wow. Oh, I have seen that pic. Oh wait, I think I saw it on his page.
Wow!
Yeah,
that's
bro.
That's amazing.
Your father is Aboriginal.
You have, I know. You have T-shirts of that, right?
Or something like that.
Yeah,
I want to get one. Yeah. Of those T-shirts. Give me one of those T-shirts. I want one.
I like it.
Wow, bro! You know what, eh? You could tell, bro. Like, other.
How many drugs was I on?
He had that bad boy look that the ladies like.
You could have been in Warriors.
Who was a comedian from Puerto Rico that was really good, but he died?
Oh,
he comes out.
He was a ghost. He was a ghost.
Oh, Rick Avilés.
Rick Avilés.
Yeah, Avilés. That's who you remind me of.
Let me tell you, we got Roches. We got Roches.
Yes, bro. Let me tell you. Let me tell you a story. Okay?
Ty Barnett.
And I promise you, we're gonna be hanging out one day, and this is gonna happen. I'm letting you know up front. Yes. Oh no. Okay. How many people come up to me and say, "Yo, I love you in Ghost, but why did you have to kill Patrick Swayze?" I swear to God, bro.
Not you.
Like, if I got a nickel, if I got a nickel for every person that has told me that, I own fucking Warner Brothers right now, and an island. Okay. So I have to tell people. But one day I was in Detroit changing flights, and this little old lady, and she comes up, "I love you in Ghost." And I felt so bad. And I said, "No, honey, I wasn't in Ghost. I'm sorry." So she goes, "So what were you in?" I said, "You ever see the Count of Monte Cristo?" She goes, "Oh, my God, my favorite movie." I said, "I was in the Count of Monte Cristo." And she goes, "No, you weren't." And from that day on, anybody that says, "I love you in Ghost," I go, "Thank you." Thank you. Right? Right?
No, Rick Avilés, bro. He used to host the Apollo.
Yeah, man.
He go, "We got Roches and Roches."
How many? Oh, okay, there you go. There you go. Who's that, Robin?
Robin, yeah.
So here goes a nice trivia question. How many people in a movie have worn the Robin outfit?
Three.
You in a movie and Eminem in a video.
Three? What were they? Who were they?
Jerry O'Connell. Right. I mean, that's not his name. What's his
O'Donnell.
Name?
O'Donnell.
No.
Yeah.
Chris O'Donnell. Yeah, not Jerry O'Connell. Chris O'Donnell, and then.
And then
Bert, the real Robin,
and then Bert.
Bert, what's it? Bert. Yeah. Young.
Bert Ward.
Bert Ward. Yeah, Bert Ward.
And then.
Yeah.
Wow. A Boricua, a Latino wearing the Robin outfit. Nice. Think about that.
But the art of a Rican.
You understand? Yeah.
Batman and Ruben.
Batman and Ruben.
Yeah, man, so Rick Avilés, he's a funny-ass comedian, bro. He told the Apollo, look him up, people, Google him. He tell what you go, you know, there's the Roches and Roches.
Well, you ever hear the shit that he does about the pigeons in Tompkins Square Park, like, nodding out? He invited me to his apartment because he lived around the corner. So he said, "Papa, I'm going to do my new routine for you." And I'm like, "Okay, dale." And then he, like, he stops after 15 minutes. He says, "What's the matter, Pa? You don't find this funny?" He said, "Oh, no. White people going to laugh. It's just, you know, we're from the hood, bro. We know the fucking pigeon."
What's the other one, bro? The one to perform on the street, Burnett.
Charles Barnett.
Charles Barnett.
Oh, Charlie Barnett.
Charlie Barnett.
Charlie Barnett. Oh, hell yeah.
Was he really, like, on it? Like, he'd have big crowds?
All the time. All
like,
the,
tons of crowds.
Like 200-300 people.
At what park?
In Washington Square Park.
Because I remember you mentioned that in the movie, in that movie, Carlito's Way. You said, they shot him over there in front of Washington Park.
Yeah. But, bro, Charlie Bonnet
was big, right? He was a performer, street performer.
He was the shit, you know.
It was just so sad, though,
because, like, you know, with Rick, you know, Rick died of AIDS and stuff like that, you know, and I think Charlie died, you know, from drug abuse and stuff, you know. But, you know, they were, like, really, these guys were really fucking tough. They were the real fucking deal, man.
And, real flavor right there, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. And it was just so sad, man. But, you know, they gave us, you know, for the time that they were around, man, they gave us some really good shit. You know, good, great times.
So you got to see them perform live?
All the time.
And Charlie Barnett in the streets?
All the time.
Big, huh?
Big time. Huge.
He was one of the first guys to do the Chinese voice, huh?
The impression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the comparisons, too, because a lot of, like, when we were talking to Sully McCullough, he was the comedian you saw on Saturday, the black comedian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was telling us, too, that Dave Chappelle, Whoopi Goldberg took a lot from Charlie Barnett's style.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Everybody did because Charlie was so fucking, you know what? Charlie didn't care, you know? And he had that rhythm to him and he had that life to him. And man, he just put it all out there. And he was very confident on himself and he was great.
That's what I want, man. I want people to be talking to me afterward. Not about saying Felipe was funny, bro. Fuck that.
They said that fool had 4 hours of solid material.
Who?
Charlie Barnett.
Easy.
He would do like a lot of shows. Like I remember when they were making that movie, and Michael Collier. Michael Collier, he's a famous street performer. He's a comedian too. He was in House Party 3. He's been in a lot of movies, and he said that because he's a street performer in Venice Beach. He said, "Nah, man, Charlie Barnett came in one weekend. He was filming here in L.A. Man, he was clearing at least." It was 5 G's of performance.
Easy.
The streets, bro.
But the problem was, back in those days, our guys didn't know how to handle that fucking money because most of it went on blow and the other half, you know, like just treating people and shit, you know? So I mean, that was the problem, you know? But, you know, that was the problem too, not only for comedians but, you know, fucking athletes back in those days, man, when they were making all that. You know, how does a guy sign a $150 million contract and 4 years later he's bankrupt?
I know, man.
You know?
I remember Chris Rock did a documentary about a famous New York Knicks player that he was like the best New York Knicks player, but that fool was partying hard.
Oh, yeah.
And you're talking.
Oh, Ray Williams.
There you go.
Yeah, Ray Williams and Sugar Ray Richardson.
Yeah, they were supposed to be big, huh?
They were partying hard. But, you know, the story goes, man. Because that was before random drug testing. These brothers be like, yeah.
On a good one, bro.
Putting it down.
Yeah. He hit a triple-double on an 8-ball.
Yeah, no shit.
It was back in the day when these athletes would meet the drug dealer in the bathroom during the game.
Yeah.
That's what like that guy from Boston, right? The Celtics who was, he crossed the bridge. He walked in his uniform waiting for his drug dealer. He was hooked.
Yeah, but that was stuff back in the day. Okay, let's bring it back to the neighborhood. Let's bring it
What's up, everybody?
What's up, fool?
What's up, food podcast?
Popping that
Luis
frequency.
Guzman, Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man. Lisa Sparza.
Thank you, bro. Man, you have anything else you want to add? You want to tell people to watch?
I just want you to keep doing your thing.
Keep representing, man.
And, you know, you're a class act, you know, and you're funny as shit and really proud of you and really proud to be sharing the space with you guys. So.
Likewise, brother.
Thank you for
sharing. We're not worthy.
Not even.
But thank you for the praise. Oh, man, now we got goosebumps.
Oh, Papa, just do me a favor. Just check out that your car battery is still there. When you run out, you know? Because I have Pepe and Lilo out waiting for me.
Oh, man, we have a lock, man. That took me back, bro, to locking up your car with a lock, locking up your
fridge. Yeah, remember? You had to put that fucking shit around your steering wheel.
My dad used to close the car. Before he closed the hood, he would pull some plug out, bro, a spark plug out for the car won't start. They try to steal it. Because our car was stolen twice by the same person.
Back in the days, those old cars just go in there and just unhook the hood and it'll pop.
Yeah, man.
Mira lo ratero. Oh, hey. Right here, wheel man over here. What's up, fool? We got Rodrigo the Repo Man over here. Lisa on the wheels of steel. Aaron over there on quietly over there.
Aaron's
doing
on
thing.
The wheels of steel.
Veronica over here chilling, taking notes, yelling at Cap G. We got Luis Guzman right here, came in like a soldier.
Yeah, man.
Please watch Cold Black. And watch, if you want to do something fun this holiday weekend, smoke a fat blunt. Look for Luis Guzman on IMDb and watch all his movies in
a
row.
Yeah, man. It's a good read.
It's a good read, man. Over 300 movies.
Yeah.
I made it up.
Okay. I'm so happy you did.
What's up, fool?
Okay.
I'm cracking this. Thank you very much, everybody who showed up.
Later.